Stunt Podcast.
Hey everyone, Matthew here. Before we begin today's show, I just want to remind everyone of this month's sponsor, Whale Street. Whale Street is the DeFi engine that powers NFT economics on a massive scale. They make huge currency swaps happen, or whale swaps as they're called, with very small slippage costs and without crashing the system. They also engineered the largest ever NFT bundle and fractionalized it into the historic B20 tokens. Whale Street is all about upside, so dip into the liquidity pools for rich rewards. For B20, join discord.com/whale. That's discord.com/whale. And follow Whale Street on Twitter at Whale Street OFFL. Thank you and enjoy the show.
Okay, Dirk, welcome to the Matthew and Rizzle Show.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone.
So to get started, I think it would be great if you could introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about the career path you've trodden, and then introduce our listeners to what you're doing at Upland.
Yeah, thank you very much. So yeah, my name is Dirk Lüth. I'm live here in the US in Silicon Valley, US West Coast, beautiful California, since 12 years originally, and I was, I can't hide it. I'm German, so my accent just will not go away. And I have started, this is now with Upland, I started my fifth company. I've started two companies back in Germany, and then two companies over here in the US. Germany, for instance, I co-founded the Financial Times and the company in the fintech space. What I'm also doing in the US is I'm a mentor for several accelerators. So I've helped over 30 startups to raise capital or to enter the US market. So I've always been somehow bitten by the startup bug and love to work with early stage companies. I got involved then with my third startup in the US with blockchain quite early, end of 2011 already. And so it really fascinated me because it's all about Bitcoin. Obviously, back in 2011 or early 2012, nobody was really talking about blockchain. It was all Bitcoin. And goes a little bit back also to my doctoral thesis, which I wrote about private and state-controlled currencies, and was really fascinated that there's a new currency which is not controlled by a central government or Federal Reserve or European Central Bank. And that was fascinating from day one. We built out actually then at that time also a product which went a different direction because obviously we were quite early in the game. And then 2018, I put myself together with Manny Honigstein, Inida and Zuckerman, who are my co-founders at Upland. The company itself is called Upland Me, and our website is upland.me. And it was one of those gaming nights where we played the game Monopoly. And there was actually also a thing was pretty much was almost the hype was always over about CryptoKitties at that time. And we were playing that game and, talking about blockchain and, what to do next. And then somehow the idea sparked, why don't we, get inspired, by this game here, which we're currently playing, Monopoly. And we bring that into the blockchain and onto the real world. So that's how it all started. We always say that also we got inspired by another thing because we also have some movie nights. We're watching Stranger Things, the Netflix series at that time. And for those who have seen it, it's a parallel world. It's a little bit like the monsters living in a parallel world, but it looks very much like the other world. And that's what all the metaverse is about. So when you think about Upland today, Upland is the Earth's metaverse, which means it's based on actual addresses, and it has very much this inspiration from Monopoly. But our vision is to build out one of the most dynamic NFT metaverses out there, and the way we do it is we say, okay, Upland is based on three pillars, and we say play, earn, and connect. So play means that you can actually go and purchase a property that is based, as I said, on an actual address. So you get a map application. It's very much like what from Google Maps, but of course we have our own map application there. When you want to download the app, and by the way, we are available on iOS, Android, and on the web. That also makes us, I think, a big exception on all the blockchain games. And So, and then we have those game engagement points or play engagement points. So you purchase the property and you then start earning our in-app currency, which is called Apex, as a yield on top of that property. So right now it's 17%. It's not going to stay for that forever, but that's what you get at now. Just for the pure fact that you own it. And of course, each property, which is based on this real-world borders, is an NFT on the blockchain. Then we gamify it further that you can do now a collection, like very much in this board game, which we were inspired by, is that you can now purchase a property on the same street. And once you have 30 properties, you complete that collection, and then you're actually increasing your yield. So, and then we have other engagement points like treasure hunts, we have scavenger hunts, and we have a couple of live events in there.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was just going to jump to the next pillar. But if you have a question, go ahead.
Sure. I was just going to say, you know, we had talked before about the difference in your virtual world. And, you know, there's a lot of, I feel like, virtual worlds springing up that are sort of all trying to do like very similar things. And I know one of the things that you wanted to talk about was the user experience, especially because our audience is very accustomed to virtual worlds and familiar from, you know, sort of hopping from place to place. So I'm sure they would be interested in like, you know, sort of like a ground level description of how it actually works. But I also didn't mean to like derail your overview of the project either. So if you want to continue on with that first, that would be great.
All right. Okay. Yeah, let's jump to the customer experience in a second. So then maybe just go quickly through the two other pillars which we have. So after play, we have earn. Earn mean that people will now start be able to build on top of their properties, like a building, like any type of structure which we are going to release. But earn goes even a step further in our case. That means people will be able to set up operations or set up shops on their properties, on their virtual properties, and then sell those things like outside decor, like a virtual fence or a virtual water fountain. They will be able to sell that to other players. And this is now where Upland also differentiates very much from other blockchain applications out there. So first of all, in order to purchase something in Upland, like a property, you have to, the way we on-ramp fiat is either you can do it with a credit card with PayPal on the web, or we also have crypto in, or you can do iOS and Android purchases. But what we also have, when we can say now that you're going to sell digital goods, and when we say digital goods, anything in Upland will become an NFT, you will be able to sell that also for US dollars to other players. So we have here a strategic partnership with the granddaddy of all metaverses called Second Life. And what we've done with them, we partnered with their payment provider, or their own payment solution. And that gave us actually fully US regulatory compliant, the possibility to do those US dollar transactions, because you need a money transmitter license for that. So now that's the earn component. That means you will be able to sell, you know, virtual decor and of course also properties for US dollars. It's currently not yet available for everyone, but will soon will be. And we just had a sale, for instance, someone purchased it. I need to look up the price. I think he purchased something for, let's say, $150 or 150,000 APEX, because $1 is 1,000 APEX. And I think he sold it now for $10,000. So that's a really nice markup for that person. That was the biggest sale so far. But earn goes also a little bit step further. So you can imagine now that you can run lots of different shops in Upland, say like a virtual car dealership, or maybe you want to sell other digital goods, or maybe you just want to provide services to other Uplanders and then can sell your services. That's not yet there, but that's exactly how and the direction we want to go. What is also what I'm super excited about is that people will be able to operate NFT galleries within Upland. So soon we'll be launching, and I talked about that partnership a little bit later, but what we'll be launching is what are called the NFT portal, and users will be able to import NFTs also from other blockchains, like from Ethereum or Wax or wherever you are. And let's say if you have now a digital piece of art, now you can put that piece of art on your virtual building, in your virtual house, in your virtual room. So this is, of course, very unique, and it's really the first true cross blockchain project which we are developing here.
Holy crap. So,
but it will not only be, because people, when you see that, right, we probably heard it, right? Yesterday was this big sale of Beeple for $69 million US dollars. So, what do people actually do with all the NFTs, right? If they sit in a wallet, that's kind of boring, I'd say. But in Upland, we actually cast utility to it. We cast content to it. So you have now you have a painting, and now you run maybe an NFT gallery. And by the way, you will be able to sell your goods also in Upland, or to trade them. And of course, what one benefit is, when it comes from Ethereum, I'm going to save all those gas fees going forward. So that's super interesting, of course. But when you, let's say, import a virtual car, now you can also drive that car in Upland, because we're also going to introduce cars. That makes it, of course, super, super interesting to use that portal going forward. Maybe then the last pillar I'm going to mention is the connect pillar. That means people will be able to meet in virtual settings, like a virtual coffee shop or a stadium or a concert venue going forward, and with like-minded other Uplanders, and have some fun and chat, and it's, so we're gonna, because we have a very, very active and great, highly engaged community in Discord. So some of the conversations we're gonna try to move into the app directly. But I pause here, maybe quickly, you have some questions to do the three pillars or in general.
Yes. Let me reiterate my, oh my God, again. Oh my God. Like, you're doing everything, it sounds like. But a lot of our listeners are going to be familiar with some of the established virtual worlds, like CryptoVoxels, of course, Decentraland, Somnium Space, and everyone's waiting for the sandbox. But Brass Tacks, how do you see Upland differentiating itself from the other established worlds that I mentioned?
Yeah, one of our core differentiators is, of course, that we are the only one so far. I mean, there are some other small ones, but who are based on the real world. So that means we can have use cases, which is, of course, then hard for the others to do. Just, just give you one example. I mentioned that people can meet, once this pandemic is over, maybe in a concert venue, right? Just imagine now there's the real world concert of, I don't know, Beyonce or whoever, and people go there, but at the same time they see the concert, but everyone who goes to that concert also gets an NFT, and so that's or get an NFT ticket, and or maybe some people only participate virtually, and so on. So there's a lot of use cases you can have around that, and that's why we very different. But one thing is, what's very important for us, we don't want to be, a closed new world. We clearly want to see, and that's, we're starting with the NFT portal right now. We really want to see how can we actually exchange, possibilities that people can actually travel between worlds. I clearly see that, hopefully, and there's, of course, technical challenges and so on, but I would love that, there's also a portal where people can go through that portal in Upland and then maybe go then into the sandbox or whatever and do other things. Because I clearly see that each, let's say, metaverse maybe attracts different types of audiences. And it's like in the old world, some people read, the blue magazines, others read the yellow magazine or whatever, right? So that's what I also see with metaverses. So you go in different metaverses to do different things, to meet different people. And there's different features in there, right? But what is important, and I hope we all are going to stick to our words, is that we really try to be as best interoperable as best as we can.
Dude, I agree. And I feel like you're preaching the mantra that a lot of people agree with right now in terms of like interoperability. And I also feel like, our audience, this is like a slam dunk for them. They're, like Matt was saying, they're accustomed to virtual worlds. They've been exploring these spaces and everything. So if they're like listening to this podcast right now and they're like, all right, this is cool, I'm familiar with this concept, I'm willing to get my hands dirty. Like what's like the ground floor, like experience present day, like if someone wanted to like get in there and start tinkering around with things?
Yeah, so from day one when we started out, so you know, just quick background again, my two co-founders Manny and Idan, they're from they ran a game company before. I'm more the blockchain type finance person, so that's, you know, we're mixing up this together. But from day one we said, because it's going to be important when we want to go to mass adoption, we have to make a product which is super easy to use. And that's when we launched Upland, it was only available on the mobile phone, right? And in the beginning, even only a mobile browser. And then we had iOS and Android app. You could not even, I mean, some people hacked it, of course, but we did not officially support desktop browser. We're doing this now because there was a popular demand for that. But this was the first thing, because we all know so many people, especially, let's say, you know, one of the mass audiences, you know, they are all on their mobile phones, you know, they're using very little, you know, the desktop. Of course, lots of crypto people are on desktop because they don't have a choice, because mobile is not as best, as good supported. But that was quite significant. And then we created actually some user experience that also is easy to understand. So in our case is people only sign up with an email and a password. And that's it. We're obfuscating all that blockchain stuff for the users. So you don't have to deal with private keys or wallets and so on, because I don't believe that the mass market is really ready to handle all that. They just would walk away when it gets too complicated. So you have to give them something really easy. And then, so that's one thing what we have. But however, we as a company, we do not have access to the private keys that clearly say that here. Right? So that's not a bridge we went, you know, just to make it super easy to use. It's still, everything is hashed and so on. And it's just for the users, and those are the technical details. But what is also important is, because when you think about blockchain, because we're talking about true ownership, when someone buys something, then he truly owns it. So we, as the game operators, we cannot take it away. And when you build a mass market game, you always have that freemium approach, right? We have some people who coming in, you know, play it, they don't like it, they leave. But let's say if they now start purchasing all those properties, and when you onboard many, many people, then lots of them will go away, but then they still own those properties. And then you have a lot of, let's say, you know, holes in the map, right? We cannot avoid that completely, to be honest, as of today. And with some thinking ideas what we could do around that, but then it would not make, does not make sense. So we came up with that solution and we say, okay, when you sign up with Upland for the first time, and, you know, sometimes there are promo links, you know, sometimes you get between 3,000 and 6,000 UPEX. So, you know, this is between $3 and $6. But and now you have to start playing, and once you reach 10,000 UPEX or $10 of net worth, then you become an Uplander. Before that, you are only a visitor who has a visa, and has to sign in at least once a week in order to extend the visa, right? So, but if people don't extend their visa, all the and they still, and when they've purchased something while they were just a visitor, they their assets will be recycled. So that's quite important. So at that moment, when, as long as they're a visitor, they don't yet own it truly. I mean, that's right. Only after they have reached that net worth. So how can you reach that net worth? Of course, you can purchase, you know, let's say 5,000 UPEX when you had a sign up bonus of 6,000, and you're immediately an Uplander. But we also have people who really work their way all the way up. So some people put you know, no money in, or only $5, but today have a net wealth of, you know, $5,000 or five million UPEX. So that's, it's possible. But of course, like in every game, then you have to work hard to get there. So this is those two things. Is, and of course, since we're mobile, you know, then it's where we trying to make it super easy for, let's say, the average user to get onboarded. Can we do better? Yes, we can, right? And it's what is called the first time user experience. And in the lingo of gamers, we always improve that. We're testing out things, what people like and what they don't like. And then we're constantly improving in order to attract as many people as we can. And so far, we are have been rewarded. So at the moment, we have between 15 and 20,000 daily active users, which makes us, as of today, when you look at DappRadar, the largest blockchain game out there. And I think we have 60 or 70,000 monthly active users. Now we're in March. That should be the number we're reaching this month.
Dude, that's a ton of active users. I assume that's largely attributed to mobile phone being the default platform for you guys, which is smart, man. That's a huge differentiator, compared to all these virtual worlds. When you're saying you sort of listen to the audience in terms of what they like and don't like regarding the user experiences, have there been any surprises that have sort of come out of this experiment, like things you weren't anticipating people really liking, or like things perhaps you thought were going to be like great successes but didn't end up going so well? Just interested to hear what type of feedback you've received from that many users.
Yeah, what was really, really amazing to see. So first of all, what we do is, we test things, and this is just because we're very numbers driven. We just see, how we onboard users, because right now we're live for the cities of San Francisco, New York, and Fresno. You don't have to be in those cities to play. But people can choose actually where they want to be dropped. The reason is that, why is also Fresno out there? Because Fresno is way cheaper. With some people were complaining that it's quite expensive to purchase properties in San Francisco or New York, but which is just real life, because we've modeled basically the real prices. Of course, we have a factor in there, but into it. So Fresno was way cheaper. So one thing, but before I continue, but one thing is also important that we clearly commit. We listen to our community a lot. We have also what is called an Upland Contributor Network. They always give us very, very good feedback, and we incorporate this feedback into the app. And we committed also ourselves, we say roughly 15% of users, what they're suggesting, we're trying to put in, into the product as well. So that's important. So you were asking what has surprised me a lot. So when I just mentioned that prices in San Francisco or New York are very high, so what we decided is, okay, we have to, when a new user comes on board and he sees a property, and by the way, properties range between, let's say, 500 APEX, which is quite cheap, half a dollar, right? But also the New York Stock Exchange has sold for $23,000 US dollars. So it's a big range. But if you come in and you're in San Francisco and lots of properties or cheap properties have been bought up there, and the first property you see, maybe $20 or $30, that's not the best user experience, right? Because you don't know the game yet, or you don't know the metaverse yet, don't want to spend that immediately. So we decided to launch cheaper cities, and we have that now on the east, on the west coast. So we just recently launched Brooklyn as well on the east coast. That means we have always, in each hub, we call it, we have cheap areas, we have mid-tier and higher tier. And the reason why we've opened Fresno, and by the way, you have to take a train from San Francisco, virtual train to Fresno from San Francisco, is that you can purchase real cheap properties there. What was because the way we did it now is we call that a Fair Start Act, or short FSA. And those FSA properties, so those were really cheap properties, they are reserved for cheap, let's say they are cheap and they are reserved for new players. This has helped us to onboard a lot of users. But what was super surprising for us is now that, of course, the more veteran players, they're also keen to get those properties. And now when a new player joins the game, they become some kind of a patron or mentor for this new player. Say, hey, I can help you and so on, but you have to maybe purchase some properties, but I can consult you. And, and then maybe I can buy one of those properties from you. So what has happened actually that, veteran players actually took over and, helped to onboard also young players. And that was really fascinating to see, because we love that the community is developing like that.
So I sort of want to go back now to the early part of the conversation, when you're talking about the earning pillar of Upland, and you had briefly mentioned the introduction of cars to Upland. I sort of want to unpack that, and how will cars be introduced to Upland? That sounds fantastic to me.
Yeah. So first of all, how do you move today in Upland? So when you sign up for the first time, you get a little avatar. We call that Block Explorer, which is a game piece. And that game piece roams randomly your city, because each time, it roams across the city, and it highlights, you know, some of the properties you are able to purchase, so that it leaves a trail, and everything which is on the trail, those are the only properties when you sign up for the first time you can actually purchase, but it's still a random movement. The other movement we have right now is that you can either take the train to Fresno or take a flight from SFO, San Francisco Airport, to JFK, New York Airport, because obviously you cannot just send your little game piece there. So that's the first type of travel we've introduced, right? So when you're in a city, you roam randomly, or you travel with those methods there. Going forward, what we want to introduce is, let's say, real-time travel much more. That means you will be able, so this randomness will probably sooner or later also go away, and then you will have cars, bikes, whatever. So cars, obviously, we have now high on the list that people will be able to use cars. I cannot announce that we're talking right now to some car manufacturers. So we bring in hopefully real world brand cars in the future. It takes a while, those discussions, because when you have to explain, you know, let's say those traditional companies what the metaverse is and NFTs, they have to digest that. but hopefully we get some of those signed up. Or what we're also thinking of creating our own brand in the beginning. But what is also interesting is that maybe when you have a car, maybe from a different blockchain, you will be able to import that through the NFT portal. And now this car becomes utility, because there will be places, when we open up new regions in Upland, there will be places in Upland you can only reach by car. So you need to have a car for that. But the car has also other utility. We will have another game engagement point. We already have spec'd out for ourselves. We just haven't developed it yet. Is car racing, so virtual car races. You know, that, and then you can actually use your car, and depending what kind of car you have, you know, you can be, you know, on the faster end or the slower end, and it's going to be fun. And that's where how we're going to import those cars. And of course, then you can, when you operate, let's say, a virtual car dealership business in Upland, you can also buy cars just like in real life, and then maybe resell those cars. So that's maybe becomes part of your business. So when you sell those cars, maybe, you know, from the car manufacturer in the beginning, we have to still work a little bit on the exact mechanics, but, you know, maybe you buy a car from another fellow player, you know, you put it in your inventory, and then you have a nice, you know, visual experience. You go into a virtual car shop, and then you can see those cars, you know, 3D objects spinning around. It's not there yet, but that's clearly the plan, how we're going to do it. And then you can purchase that car and drive around in Upland.
Dude, it's awesome. I mean, I feel like that's sort of like the long-term projection for a lot of these virtual worlds. And, you know, the challenge is sort of getting there. You know, everyone's got like the ideas, but like laying the groundwork and getting these concepts into place is, you know, part of what I think everyone is going through right now. One of the big things I feel like differentiates you guys, at least in the beginning, is the incorporation of multiple blockchains. And I was curious to know, like, how difficult you anticipate that being, and, you know, especially if like the population of like alternative blockchains for NFTs and, you know, tokens continues to grow, and also if you see that being commonplace throughout the metaverse, or if like a lot of these projects are going to sort of have to, like, you know, pick their alternate blockchains and, you know, stick with them rather than being all encompassing, just because of the difficulty of, you know, incorporating multiple chains.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack here on that question. So first of all, I mean, as of today, of course, we know that blockchains are not interoperable, right? So that's just a pure fact. So the way we are going to do it, and this is just the first level, is that when we say we're going to import, because we have mentioned that we are based on the EOS blockchain. And so when we say we have the NFT portal and we allow users to import those Ethereum tokens or WAX tokens or NFTs, what we will do is actually we take those other NFTs, we take them into custody, we create our own token right now on our blockchain or on EOS blockchain, and then people can use it in Upland, right? So that's the way we're doing it right now. And of course, they can always go back and take the asset out again, right? It's not just a one-way street, this is both ways, right? So it's also true then it's going to be true for other assets, like when you purchase an asset, you know, let's say native car, Upland as native car, then you can also export it, maybe if you want to sell it on OpenSea or somewhere, right? So that's all, you know, in the planning. But So that's one thing. When we want to, because we always say, I think we have to move away. I know that there's lots of people who are, you know, maximalists on their blockchain and so on, but blockchain is just a technology, right? We have to think really about the experience, the users and so on. And we're pretty much agnostic, even though we are based on EOS blockchain. But if we find other use cases or something others, I wouldn't mind that we also integrate some other blockchain technology into Upland. However, it has to make sense from a technical standpoint, and it's, you know, that doesn't create a lot of cost. So I'm hopeful that, you know, blockchains will start to talk to each other, you know, hopefully in the, I mean, I don't know, hard to say, right? Maybe in the next 3 or 5 years. And then once that is possible, I think then the whole, which is the best blockchain and all that kind of discussions, you know, hopefully they will go away. And, you know, we really focus on building great products, great user experiences. And just like the internet today, you don't care about really HTML or whatever is there for now, right? However, I tend to say, for us to choose EOS was super important because what we are building, and when I said earlier, the way we are onboarding users and all that, unfortunately, would not have been possible on Ethereum, right? Because obviously, for those who don't know it, Upland works a little bit different. EOS works a little bit different. It's a proof of stake model. And that means we don't have to pay gas fees because we have lots of transactions. We don't make them really public, but I think we would be one of the most transacted blockchains or prior if we would do that. So, but you know, we don't pay for every transaction. And what was also very important is that we have very high throughputs. You know, so for instance, we had, I think, up to 35 transactions per second once we opened Brooklyn. It was on the peak, and there's no way you could have done that with another blockchain, right? So that's very important to note here. For us, was, let's say, the best solution at the moment to build what we've built with that type of user experience. But again, I don't want to be too religious about the blockchains, right? When we can do other things with other blockchains, you know, we're completely open to that.
100%. And well, first of all, thank you for going into so much detail about Upland and especially your long-term ambitions. I feel like talking about that, where you're heading is invaluable to current users and for sure for future users. But the one question we always like to hit our guests with as we're wrapping up the show is to kind of, well, take out your own crypto wallet and sort of just like open it up for us to look into. We like to ask our guests what they're collecting, what NFTs they have in their collection, maybe what they're looking to scoop in the near-term future. So very curious to see what you've been collecting in your wallet over the past and number of years you've been in this space.
Yeah, so of course I have CryptoKitties. Actually, I haven't checked for a while. Maybe they might be a little bit more worth today to see where they stand. By the way, just a side note, we had once together with Dapper Labs a short partnership, and we imported some of the CryptoKitties into Upland, and we have Angel Island, which is a little bit north of San Francisco. There's what we call CryptoKitty Islands, you know, where they're able to retire. It was kind of fun project we already did. Of course, I started out with CryptoKitties, so I have that. Unfortunately, I did not go into the whole CryptoPunks, even though I saw them at that time, but maybe today things have changed. Well, and then over time, I purchased... Sorry?
Oh, I was just saying, I feel your pain, man. I missed the boat on that one as well.
Yeah. So, you know, it's always that, you know, I joined Bitcoin, the Bitcoin wave in 2011, you know, I don't know what the price was, right? But I couldn't put, anyway, that's a different story. So then CryptoKitties, and then, you know, I purchased art here and there, not those huge things, because I still, you know, I'm not to tend to say I'm a super specialist. I understand art very well. They could say, okay, this is more valuable than something other. So for me, it's hard to say now why is this people think now $60 million worth, but I could not tell you why certain art in real life has this worth, right? I think I'll leave it up more to other people. It's just something what I like, which I have. The other thing what I do have also is, and that's actually, we have a partnership with the Blockchain Heroes. I don't know if you wear them. They have this great Blockchain Heroes card set. And I have some of those heroes also in my Wax wallet. But mostly I buy stuff just to understand how other, you know, companies are doing things and, you know, what the user experience is and so on. But that's very important. By the way, speaking of the Blockchain Heroes, we are launching in April together. That's actually the first cross-blockchain project. What we're launching is to Upland Collectibles Blockchain Edition, Blockchain Heroes Edition. And what that is actually a collectible card set on the Wax blockchain where people can purchase you know, characters from Upland, but also some characters from the Blockchain Heroes, and they are going to be in those card packs. And so they, people can collect those in the beginning, but and the different rarities, you know, rare mythics and so on. And people have to try to get, of course, the mythics. But what was super interesting is once we are launching the NFT portal in Upland, people will be able to import those cards. So this is the first project, at the same time, a little bit the beta for us to test it out. We'll be able to import those cards into Upland and put those cards then as, you know, virtual drawing on the wall. But what they also get is this little game piece, the Block Explorer, and then they can get this Block Explorer and use that actually in Upland. And when they want to export the card back out into, onto the Wax blockchain again, the Block Explorer stays in Upland and then the card's depleted. So that's a new way of doing and showing things, you know, and actually it's a nice use case for the NFT portal as the first thing, and others going to follow.
And well, I just want to thank you for taking all the time that you have to speak with us about Upland. It's been fascinating to listen to this project. And I'm really excited to see what you guys are able to do heading forward. I can't wait to kick the tires myself on this. But I wanted to thank you once again, Dirk, for talking with us about Upland, and yeah, really wish that you keep on creating.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, and great podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Dirk. It was great, man.
Hey everyone, Matthew here. Thank you for listening to today's show. I just want to remind everyone of this month's sponsor, Whale Street. Whale Street is the DeFi engine that powers NFT economics on a massive scale. They make huge currency swaps happen, or whale swaps as they're called, with very small slippage costs and without crashing the system. They also engineered the largest ever NFT bundle and fractionalized it into the historic B20 tokens. Whale Street is all about upside, so dip into the liquidity pools for rich rewards. For B20, join discord.com/whale. That's discord.com/WHALE. And follow Whale Street on Twitter at Whale Street OFFL. Thank you, and see you next episode. Sent podcast.